Okay, welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and guess what? I'm in Dalesford again. Yes, I'm having another holiday. I know that it's just been 2 weeks since I was here, but I needed another break. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes you just need a break. But really, I love to come here so that I can rest and recharge and get inspired and all those kinds of things. But while I was here, I received a message last night that was really interesting. And I replied to this a student of mine, and I said to her, "Do you know what? This would be a great podcast topic. So that's what we're going to do." Now, what had happened was she was promoting her private practice. Well, I don't know if she was promoting it. I imagine she probably was, but she was in some of those online free communities in Facebook and as a therapist and, trying to network and build up her private practice. And anyway, what happened was another organization, I won't name it, but another, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It was Lifeline. Lifeline came into the community and sort of, put this post up with a picture, and they were saying, we've got, well, I can read it out. Hang on, because I screenshotted it so that I could help her with this. So let me just bring it up for you. What did it say? It says, the Lifeline post said, "Do you feel isolated from help or support or find it difficult to cope at times? Lifeline's counselling service is a no-cost, safe, and confidential service that allows you to talk to a qualified counsellor without any about anything concerning you. We will listen without judgment and offer support, information, and practical strategies." And then it's got some dot points, and it says that they offer phone, video, and face-to-face. Minimal wait time, no referral needed. Meet with a fully qualified counsellor. Have up to 6 sessions with the same counsellor at no cost to you. All funded by Lifeline. Do you think counselling could be helpful for you? Calling us is the first step. We'll book you in at a time that suits you. Call this number or find out more at this website. And it's got a big picture there of somebody, a guy with a beanie on, and the text on the picture has the Lifeline logo and says, "Access counselling services at no cost to you with no referral needed." So, of course, it's very understandable that this lovely, lovely client of mine would be feeling panicky about that. I mean, who wouldn't? You're there and you're trying to build up your private practice, and then some big organization comes in and says, "Hey, everyone, come with us. We'll do it for nothing." So, here's my thoughts on this, right? Because my lovely student won't be the only one that saw that promotion and won't be the only one that was freaking out about it. Sorry if it's a bit echoey in here, it's because I'm actually in the spa eating my breakfast. Anywho, what I wanted to say is this: I believe that your clients are always your clients, okay? Because I'm a spiritual person and I believe there's someone for everyone and all of that kind of stuff, but I also believe that there's no competition. I believe that the people who are right for your practice will only ever be right for your practice. They're not going to go to Lifeline, okay? Lifeline's got certain people and certain types of clients that it attracts. You have your own certain type of clients that your business attracts. Lifeline is targeting people who want free sessions. Your marketing does not target people who want free sessions. Okay? You're both speaking to two different audiences, and so by that, you're not actually competing. They're only putting that up there for the people who want a session without having to pay for it. Okay, but your clients are very, very different, and I'll tell you why. You have to understand, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Now, I didn't make this up like this, not make it up, but I mean, I didn't arrive at this myself. This was something that I learned recently. I can't remember where I learned it, but I can't take credit for it. But anyway, there's a difference between a brand and a logo. Okay, and the example was, let's imagine, I don't know, some big hotel group, like let's imagine Sheraton Hotels, and then you've got Nike shoes, right? Let's imagine Sheraton Hotels was going to bring out a line of running shoes. Is anybody going to buy those shoes? No. Now let's imagine Nike says, hey, we're going to bring out a line of hotels and they're going to be fitness focused. Every hotel is going to have a gym and it's going to have free smoothies on arrival and it's going to have, all health practitioners on site, and you can book appointments as part of your accommodation. You get an appointment with a health professional of your choosing during your stay, stuff like that. Are you going to go and stay at the Nike Hotel? Yes. So what's the difference? How come when Sheraton tries to sell something, we don't want to buy it, but when Nike tries to sell something outside of its normal domain, we will buy it. I tell you, it's because of the branding. There's a difference between a logo and a brand, and this is what you need to understand, right? You've got a logo, but the logo doesn't mean anything. The logo doesn't mean jack. What does mean something is you speaking into the values of your business consistently, all the time. So your business is going to have a whole bunch of values. Mine's got five. Let me see if I can remember them for you because, I'm off coffee at the moment. Well, I've been off coffee since May last year when I had the flu shot. I got really, really sick from it. I'm sure that they put something else in that flu shot, but I got really sick from it and I haven't been able to drink coffee ever since. So excuse me because I'm stumbling all over myself because it's early in the morning and I haven't had a hot drink, but I think I've got five. Yes, so mine are, oh, just thinking here, financial autonomy, time freedom, abundance, right? So not just abundance with money, but abundance, growth, and something else. I can't remember. I'll remember it when I finish recording the podcast. I'm probably sure. Oh, support. Yes. So financial autonomy, freedom, growth mindset, support, and whatever the other one was. Sorry, I've forgotten. Anyway, so I always want to be, and I hope that you feel all of those things in my posts. So if you go back, for example, just using my business so that you've got something to refer to, but if you look at my website, if you look at my Instagram feed, if you look at, my online behavior in Facebook groups and my Facebook communities, hopefully everybody in there will feel those values. They will say, Brooklyn is all about being supportive. She's so helpful. Brooklyn is all about helping people grow. Brooklyn is all about, time freedom. She's sharing more and more about that lately on her social media, and she's all about, supporting people to do things like create financial autonomy. Well, you wouldn't use that language, but you might say you might say something like, Brooklyn's also all about, setting up passive income for your business and future-proofing your practice. So I think nearly all of you could honestly say that you pick up a lot of my values from what I post. Now, if I go and look at your Instagram feed, will I pick up what your values are? So if I went and had a look at your Instagram feed now, let's say you sent me a message on Instagram, you said, hey, heard your podcast. Can you have a look at my feed, Brooklyn, and tell me what you think my three or four values are? And I had a look at your feed and I DM'd you back and I said, yep, here's what I think your values are. Wouldn't that be an interesting activity? Because that would tell you straight away whether or not your posts are calling in the right clients for your business. Now, this is something that the students in Marketing with Soul and more recently Marketing with Soul Light all understand and they all learn this. And so for them, they don't have to worry about competition. But if you don't understand about branding, and branding is more than your logo and your font and your colors, if you don't understand all of the behind the scenes stuff with your branding, then you will be very nervous and you will be very afraid because you could lose clients. Because what's going to happen is if you don't stand for anything and if your clients don't know about you and they don't know about what's important to you and they don't know how you help them and all those kinds of things, well, all they really know then is how much it's going to cost to see you. And what happens then is it's a race to zero and they're just going to go with where they can get it free because, why wouldn't they? So even now, and this is nothing against Lifeline or anything like that, I'm just using this as an example. Could you think of Lifeline's brand values without going and Googling them or, imagining them or anything? Could you honestly tell me, do you know their five values? Yes or no? Probably no, right? All I know now is that, yeah, they're giving out free, and they always have, I think, given out free therapy, free counseling sessions. But what are their actual values? And what do they stand for? Right? You probably don't know, and neither do the people in the online communities. And so what happens is when someone like Lifeline goes in and says, hey, we're going to give it to you for nothing, people will grab that because they don't know what you stand for yet. And you're getting worried because you're thinking, oh, my clients are going to go to Lifeline and I'm not going to have any clients and, I'm not going to have a business and my private practice is going to fold because Lifeline's here now and they're going to take all my clients. That's what's going to happen. You're going to think that. So we really need to make sure that you do understand what marketing is. And guess what? This is not something that you learn in school, and it's not something that you learn in your courses, and it's not something you can learn in the free online groups either. Those groups only go so far, and people are only willing to share a certain amount of information in them because guess what? They paid a lot of money to go and learn how to market. So they're not going to tell you in free community groups, just do this and just do that. Right? Because it's not fair. It's not fair on them. Why would they? So you do need to go and learn. It's a learning curve. Successful private practice owners, people who've, got fully booked diaries, understand what marketing is and they understand what it's not. One of the things that I noticed recently, and I could have said this on a recent episode or in a post, I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, it was in an email that I did. Was over the last couple of weeks, I was doing website reviews for people, which I loved. It's so much fun seeing other people's websites and so much fun to be able to, be able to give them some quick tips that they could use straight away, and already people are saying they're getting more traffic to their website. Already people are saying that they've had inquiries from the right types of clients coming through just based on that. But it's really important that I was going somewhere with this. I'll come back to it. I've just forgotten what I was going to say. But a successful private practice owner goes away and learns how to market the business. Okay. If you're posting on Facebook and you're posting on Instagram, that's not marketing. It's not. Marketing is a strategic activity that your business does, and guess what? You can't do it if you've never learned how to do it, right? What I was going to say before, if you're posting on your social media like Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all the places, and it's just random stuff, like it's just tips on this or tips on that. I'm going to give you this week 7 tips on how to have a happy relationship or something like that, and you're just doing the tips, tips, tips one a day. Who cares about your tip? What they would be more likely to care about is you, your story, and how you show your values. If your values aren't coming through all of those posts, how are you going to create a connection with your audience? Right? Forget about posting randomly and saying that's marketing. Posting without a strategy and posting without a marketing plan is not marketing. It's you just doing busy work and it's not going to get you anywhere. And I know that there are so many therapists that don't like posting on their Instagram or their Facebook because it doesn't work for them, they say. But the reason that it's not working is because they don't know what they're doing. They think that they do, but they don't. They're not aware that there's all this other stuff that goes into it. Okay, branding's part of it, messaging is part of it, the values are part of it, but there's more layers to it as well. And yeah, as I said, it's not your fault you don't know it. But copying what other people are doing and assuming, well, because she's got it on her feed, that must be what to do. It's false. Don't do that. That's like akin to saying, well, everyone in my area charges $80, so I'm only going to charge $80, or things like that. Don't worry about what other people are doing. focus on you. But without understanding how to market your practice, it's going to take you so much longer to get the clients. And yes, you will be afraid and you will be scared when somebody else comes in and says, well, you know, all things equal to the community, you know, meaning, hey, everyone in this Facebook community, you don't know what she does over there and you don't really know what our values are over here. So, you know, all that's left is price. We're going to give it free. Of course, you're going to get worried. Of course, you're going to get worried. So I like to think that this worry is just a sign from the universe or source or your intuition to call you to pay attention to your marketing. It's telling me you're not confident with your marketing yet. And the reason that you're not confident is because you don't know what you're doing yet. Okay. Now, if you're in the stages of learning, different story. You're not going to feel confident yet because you're learning. You're on the learning curve. You're trying new things and you're not sure whether or not they're going to work. So you getting worried about seeing somebody else offer free counseling, that's totally fine and you're right where you need to be. I want you to be aware and I want you to be alert to what's going on with your marketing. That's a good thing. But if you're worried and you're not learning about marketing and you don't understand anything about how to call in clients through your social media or things like that, that's a different issue altogether. And that's just a sign from the universe or from your intuition that, hey, do you know what? I think I'm going to have to bite the bullet here and go and learn. And it's not hard. The thing that stopped me from going and taking a marketing course was, number one, I thought it was going to cost me like tens of thousands of dollars. Number two, it didn't feel like, it just felt disconnected. It didn't feel like I had anything to do with the job, which was doing therapy. I say doing therapy, but you know, being on the couch with somebody, that's what I thought the job was. And it is if you're a subcontractor. But it's not if you're running a private practice business. So I had to shift from going from employee mindset to business owner mindset, right? Big shift there. And then when you adopt that mindset, you start to see, okay, I've got to put my big girl pants on now and say, what do I need to learn? And there are all kinds of things you're going to have to learn about your books, you know, you can outsource that. You're going to have to learn about your marketing. If you don't want to do it, you're going to outsource it. But even before you outsource it, there are things that you need to provide to the person that's going to be doing the marketing. They're going to be asking you all the questions I'm asking you today, and you better have the answers for them. Otherwise, that marketing isn't going to work. The other things that you need to be aware of are like your KPIs. Like when you're a subcontractor or you're employed by someone, it's pretty unusual that you'd be tracking your own KPIs. I mean, sometimes you do, but generally you don't, okay? There are always exceptions to the rules, but generally you don't. And probably there'd be some of you going, KPI, what's a KPI? A KPI is a key performance indicator. A key performance indicator is a metric that you have for your business that shows you whether or not you're on track to reach things like your quarterly goals, or not. It informs you as to what's working in your practice and what's not. You track things like retention, inquiries, lifetime value of a client, you know, and some of you might even be thinking, what on earth is a lifetime value of a client? So these are things that you need to know when you're in private practice and you're running a private practice, right? But you don't know that you need to know these things until someone like me comes along and says, well, the reason other people are successful is because they need to go and learn them. Now you do know that you need to go and learn them. And so you get to choose. What are you going to do? Are you going to just listen to this podcast today and say, oh, that was really interesting, and then click off and, you know, go about your day and not do anything? Or are you going to say, okay, I didn't realize there were things that I didn't know. How do I go and get the help here? What do I do? And reach out and say to me, this is the position that I'm in, you know, and tell me, like, are you posting on your social and you're not getting clicks? Let's have a look at that. Are you in love with your website, but you're not getting much traffic to it? Let's have a look at that. Are you, you know, worried about the competition? Let's have a look at that. Like, Because I've gone and done all the courses and invested, as you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in my education, I do that. And then it allows me to help you. I can do it more quickly than you can. You can go away and you can try and Google what's a KPI and, what are KPIs in business. And you're probably going to get overwhelmed. It's probably going to feel very technical. You'll probably hate it. And then you'll walk away and you'll just say, yeah, I'm just going to focus on my next appointment. They're coming at 3 o'clock and yeah, phew, thank goodness. And you're just going to stay in your comfort zone and nothing's going to change in your business. You'll be still treading water. Right, whether you're at 25% fully booked, whether you're at 50% fully booked, doesn't matter, you'll be treading water. But successful private practice owners, success by the way that you define it, by the things that are important to you. Like, I see myself as successful at the moment, even though I just wrapped up my last counseling session. So I don't have a counseling client at the moment, right? Yes, they're on my books and they're in aftercare programs, but at the moment, I don't have a counseling client. Am I still a successful private practice owner? Yes. Why? Because the way I measure success is, can the practice still pay my bills, help me look after my mum, help me look after Buddy, give me a lifestyle that I want to live, even without a client coming through? The answer is yes. Okay, so to me, that's successful. I'm getting my time and I'm not having to worry about income. To me, that's successful. How I would have defined success in the beginning was, do I have a fully booked diary? Every new client I considered, a step closer to me being successful. And then when I had that fully booked diary, I thought I'd reach the penultimate and, as we do, because again, you just don't know what you don't know. And I had no idea. You can have a fully booked diary and not be successful. Like, think about the poor people who've got fully booked diaries, but they're charging $60, and they're charging $60. They're burning out. They're seeing so many clients a day because they need the higher volume so that they can get the money in to pay the bills. For every one client you see at $150, they've got to see three. That's, I want to say SH1T. Who wants to live like that? But other people would look at them and they would say, oh, she's so successful, she's fully booked. But behind the scenes, she's exhausted. She doesn't see herself as successful. She's not switching off. She's thinking about work all the time. And even when she gets home late, because she has to stay back and do after-hours appointments that she's probably not even charging a surcharge for. And she's probably working on her weekends and probably not charging a surcharge for. And she's probably going to bed at night exhausted. She's probably having early nights because she's that tired. And she's going to bed, head on the pillow, dreading the next day. She just wants a day off, but she's telling herself, I can't take a day off because if I take a day off, then I'm not going to be able to pay the bills or whatever it is. So don't look at other practices and just assume they're successful because they've got a fully booked diary. That's not what makes them successful. Your success is defined by you. You get to choose what success looks for you, what success looks like for you at the moment. Okay. For me, I'm also working on how do I increase my passive income right now? And how do I do that through monthly recurring revenue? How do I increase sales of digital products? Like, that's what I'm looking at now. For me, the more successful I become, the less one-to-one client work I'm going to be doing. That's where I'm at. That's your business is going to evolve all the time. Like, your branding's going to evolve all the time. Your values are going to evolve all the time. You've seen my branding. I've had like even this podcast, it's had like four name changes and four or five different album covers. But did it affect anything? No. Some people got on the bus, which is great. Some people got off it. That's fine. There are always going to be people that dip in and dip out of your world. That's okay. You dip in and dip out of other people's worlds as well. That's just life. It's okay. It doesn't mean nobody loves you or, anything like that, or you're not doing it right. Of course you're doing it right. It's just that whatever you're doing is going to be resonating with a particular type of person at that point in time. And then as you evolve and you move into a different space, or you expand, or you get a new opinion about something, some of those people say, actually, this doesn't really align with where I'm going at the moment, right? Like, do you know how many people stopped? I was going to say following, but I don't think it's following. I think they still follow me. But there's a whole bunch of people when I was talking about ACA and PACFA having levels and how there's it's baseless, it's misappropriated from other models in other allied health industries, that in my mind it only perpetuates imposter syndrome for a community that's 90% female, that already, many experience their own concerns around worth, guilt, am I good enough, da 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 da. It's just, and those models for ACA and PACFA were made by men. Hello. No offense to the men listening. I'm just saying, like, it's really hard being a woman in private practice. It's really hard sometimes being a female therapist, or a therapist that identifies as female in private practice, because you're already up against it. You've already had so much disadvantage when you left the workforce. Let's imagine you and your partner were both studying, you're both at the same level, you both open the private practice together, and then he gets to stay in it while you're home looking after little ones for however many years. You're missing out on your superannuation, you're missing out on experience, you're missing out on developing your practice wisdom and your skills. You're probably not in touch with everything that's going on as much as you would have been had you been there every day. You're missing out on your CPD. Do you know what I mean? And then finally you go back, and then your membership body says, well, you've got to be like an associate because you're not good enough yet to be a level four. Just go and do some more work and then you can be a level four. Go and get some more hours behind you and then you can be a level four. Don't go and spend another $10,000 on another qualification or more, and then we'll let you go up a level. It's BS and it's unnecessary. And so that's my opinion, right? And some people say to me, oh, you shouldn't say stuff like that, Brooklyn, But other people say to me, I hadn't thought about it like that. You're right. There actually isn't any basis for it, and it is disempowering, Oh, empowerment, that was my other value. Knew it would come back to me. That's disempowering. And it is. It's not empowering to think you've got to go up levels. It's a business model that some membership bodies use to retain you. They know once they get you in on a, like, they might have a commercial relationship with a educational institution. They tell that institution, promote our membership, give everybody information about how they can be a student member. And then once you're in, you get indoctrinated. You're like, oh, well, if the uni said I've got to be with them, then I'll be with them. Because you don't question. You don't think to question. And nobody says to you, go and question things. And then what happens is, next thing you're on the pathway, and then you're going on, starting at level one, and then you realize, oh, now I've got to go to level two. And it's like this whole pathway of levels. And at every single level, that membership body is making money off you. And what's it doing for you? It's not advocating for people at the bottom levels. It's only advocating for the people at the top levels. Why? Because the people at the top levels, the people who are, and this is not to offend people who are at level one or level two or anything like that. It's just my opinion, and I'm just sharing it. So please, take what I'm saying with a grain of salt if it's not resonating with you. But I think it's important to understand they're only advocating for the people at the top levels, like level one and level two, because those people have paid the most money to be in the club. They paid membership fees since they were students. They might have been a student for 2 or 3 years, paid membership fees, and then they've gone into level four, paid membership fees. Then they've gone into level three, paid membership fees for however long it took them to get that next qualification. Then they've gone into level two, paid membership fees. Or the CPD, have a look at who's approved to do the CPD, right? Have a look at who the approved training providers are. Have a look at who the approved insurance brokers are. And ask questions. Are these membership bodies getting kickbacks? And again, it's just this whole membership pathway is a business model. It's not a model that supports students. It's not a model that supports therapists, in my opinion. It's a business model. And the KPI, one of the KPIs that they'd be looking at is retention. How are we retaining members? We don't want members leaving and going to the other body, right? But yeah, they often only advocate for the top, you know, one or two tiers. They don't, you know, there's not a lot of advocating going on for everybody, let's just say. And so to me, again, it's disempowering. But they'll look after the people that have spent the most money with the business. So don't think that those membership bodies are there to support members. They're there as businesses to make money. And it's okay for you to question things. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. My point was, when you start to speak into your values, so as you can hear, I'm so passionate about that because my value is empowerment, right? And I don't see those membership models as being empowering. I think a more empowering membership model would be platycurtic instead of hierarchical. Platycurtic just meaning flat, you know, it would just be like you're either in or you're not. You're a member or you're not. That's it. That is more empowering. It's disempowering to keep taking people's money and force them on this path while you're getting money from all sides. You're getting it from your commercial relationships and the students. You know what I mean? Think about the average member that goes through a membership organization in our industry and how much money they probably give to that membership organization over the course of their career. I know, let that sink in. And what do you get for it? And, you know, the other thing too is there are two membership organisations that lobby, but there are other membership organisations you can join that don't have all that structure, that don't have all of that hierarchy. The reason that they're not with NDIS, for example, you know, NDIS will say, oh, you need to be with, you know, this one or that one. The reason that these other ones aren't on there is just because they don't lobby. But if you're with them, you can certainly say, hey, could you please go to the NDIS and get us approved? And they will. You just have to ask, but nobody thinks to ask. Like, they're there to serve you. They're there to serve members, but they don't know what you want if you don't tell them. So email them. You know, if you're with a membership body and you want to be on NDIS as a provider or WorkSafe as a provider, and it's saying, well, you've got to be a member of, you know, this one or that one, yours isn't on it, ask your membership body to get you on it. It's their job. It's what you're paying them to do. They want to keep you as a member. They want you to be happy. So let them know what you're wanting and what you're needing, okay? Anyway, so you can hear how passionate I am, is what I was saying before. You can hear how passionate about it I am because my value is empowerment. So I will speak to empowerment for, I was going to say as long as the day is long, but that's not the right saying, is it? I could talk about it all day long because it's important to me. It's what I stand for. I want equality. I want truth. I want transparency. I want empowerment. Those are things I'm passionate about. And so some people really resonate with that very much. And they'll send me little messages and emails and things like that, you know, saying, thank you for sharing it. Thank you for saying it. Hadn't thought of that before. Da, 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 da. But there'll be other people who say, you're the reason why we're in the position that we're in and we're not on Medicare. So you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but without standing for something, you stand for nothing and you're not going to get a client. And then when an organization comes along and says, well, hey, we'll see you for free, of course people are going to go and get the free one. But if you stand for something like I do, like let's imagine you could go and get free private practice coaching for 6 sessions and I didn't stand for anything. And I was charging you $5,000, and another organization, you didn't know what they stood for, but they came along and said, well, look, we'll do the same service, but not charge you $5,000. You're going to go with them. And you should. It makes sense. But if you know me, for example, you know my brand, and you know my brand is about empowerment. You know my brand is about being supportive. You know my brand is about creating financial autonomy, you know, that spaciousness, so you're not feeling pressured all the time with the money. If you know that my brand is about, you know, freedom and choices, like it's important to me that as a business owner, you've got choices choices over how you practice, who you work with, who you remember with, all those kinds of things. And I'm saying, well, this is what I'm all about, and it's $5,000 to work with me. And then somebody else comes along and says, well, you don't really know what my values are, but you can get coaching with me for nothing. Some people will go to the one for nothing. That's fine. But there'll still be people who come and work with me because they feel aligned. They agree. They're in resonance with me. They're saying, Brooklyn, I get it. I feel the same way. Those are the people that are going to be my clients. And so I'm giving you this as an example for you with your practice. Don't worry about people like Lifeline coming in and saying in community groups, we'll do it free. If people know you and they know your brand, and you don't have to go and say, here's a post about my values. That's not what this is about. It's about you showing up in a way that embodies your values so that people just know. They know what you stand for, okay? They know what you stand for. When you believe your clients know what you stand for, you create for yourself confidence that is just unshakable. You will be able to remove emotion from a lot of conversations that you have with clients. So, for example, if you're not really good with your marketing and you don't feel confident with it because you don't know what the foundational pieces are, you're just trying to use bits and pieces you've heard on podcasts or seen in Facebook groups for your marketing, you're just trying to use all those, but you kind of know it's not really working because it's not, you don't feel confident in it. If somebody has an inquiry call with you and it doesn't work out, you're going to feel gutted. You'll take it personally. You'll be hurt. You'll be upset. You'll feel rejected. You'll feel not good enough, all those kinds of things. But if you know your values and you know what you stand for and you're speaking into them all the time, what are the chances of somebody reaching out that doesn't want to work with you? They're minimal. They're minimal. So it means that nearly all the people that reach out as good as in. There's no selling for you to do on those calls. They're sold. They were sold long before they slid into your DMs. I hate that expression, by the way, but they were sold long before they messaged you on Facebook. They were sold long before they sent you an inquiry. They were sold months ago, and they've been sold ever since by your values, by your branding. Okay, so my message today is, if you feel confident with your marketing, then you don't have to worry about people coming in and saying we've got it for free. Because also, let's face it, you are not seeking clients who don't want to pay you. Let's be honest, you need to get paid. Okay, you don't have government funding behind you, perhaps. I don't know, some practices might for different projects and things, but on the whole, by and large, we're just a bunch of women running our own private practices by ourselves, many of us, and we don't have funding behind us that allows us to offer no-cost sessions for our clients, okay? So don't worry. Those clients are not for you. If Lifeline get fully booked because they're offering free sessions, that's great. That means their marketing is working for them because it's resonating with their target audience. But we also know that you probably need to work on speaking and marketing to your target audience, okay? So I hope that this was helpful. But if you want me to have a look at your marketing, just send me a little message. I'm away at the moment. I'm back on Tuesday. But you can send me a message on Instagram or send me a message on Facebook, and I will go and have a look at your Instagram or your Facebook, and I'll tell you what I'm seeing as your, you know, five values or something. And then you can say, yes, you're right, no, you're not. And then we've got a starting point, okay? Anyway, or if you're beyond that and you're wanting something else, you can also let me know, because I've got the Marketing with Soul program. So there's two versions of that. There's a light one where you just kind of DIY it which is totally fine. There is the option of a Facebook group. There's one person in it at the moment. We've got, I think the light version I haven't launched officially. I just kind of like put it up and then somebody was asking me about it and yeah, I gave them the link. But yeah, I think we've got 10 people in that now. One is in the community, which is about normal because all my other memberships, it's about a third of the people who buy into the programs will join the communities. The other two thirds just want the resources, so that's fine. But so there's the light version where you can just grab my resources and, you know, plug away at it yourself. Or there's a version where you get loads of help and support. You can submit things for free, back for feedback. There's coaching calls. You can join. There's replays of coaching calls. There's extra training. There's more resources. There's more help with implementation and you know, support and all of that sort of stuff. So you can do either of those. It's up to you. They're not expensive, right? I think the light version is $50 a month or something. It's nothing. It's not even a session fee. It's like a third of a session fee. 20 minutes of you working a month would cover the cost of you doing that marketing program. And how much money is it going to bring into the practice, right? It's going to bring loads of money into the practice because you're finally going to understand how to attract the clients that you want to be working with. You know, put your business head on. Start thinking about things from the version of you that's already got the successful private practice. And start making decisions from that space, not your current circumstances, right? Would the successful version of me, how did the successful version of me fill her diary, for example? Well, she went and learned how to do marketing. Great. Okay, I will go and learn how to do marketing. That simple. Anyway, I hope that this was helpful. As I said, you know, this episode is totally without prejudice. It's nothing against any membership bodies, nothing against any organizations like Lifeline. Lifeline was the example because it was used in the public domain anyway. They've got ads all over the place and it affects people. So yes, we're allowed to discuss it, but I don't have any issue with Lifeline. I think that they do provide a very valuable service for their target market, but their target market is not your target market, okay? Anyway. If you need any help, let me know. Thanks for listening to another episode. I'll see you in the next one. Bye.